Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to go a lot of directions on today's show. Byron Scott, ESPN analyst, former Laker, three-time NBA champ, ABC analyst. He has written a new book, Slam Dunk Success, former Sun Devil, of course, for you ASU fans. Byron Scott at 10:20. Bob Brenly is going to join us from Milwaukee. It's about time to get caught up with BB, World Series winning manager of the Diamondbacks, Fox Sports Arizona analyst. Is this thing for real that we're seeing? Or is it just too early? They won again yesterday. They're 10 games above 500. Usually when we get to the Memorial Day weekend, we are dead deep into what is going to happen with the third string defensive tackle for the Cardinals this year. We are totally into, man, they've got six tight ends, and let's break down the sixth tight end. What are we going to do here? We have a baseball team that's relevant, that's interesting, that's entertaining. Are they built for success? What is different about Zach Greinke this year from Bob Brenly's point of view? What concerns him about the Diamondbacks? So we'll talk with BB about that, and then we'll have Goody at the movies because here's the thing. You'll know what's going on in sports by the time we get to Bill, and you need to get a life because it's a long holiday weekend, and Pirates of the Caribbean is coming out. And Bill just absolutely crushed it today. And I'm thinking as the movie, I went the other night with my wife. The other night when we were like 10 minutes into it, Bill was sitting a couple rows behind me. And I'm thinking he's just got to be hating this movie. Because there was just an opening scene that was, I don't know, my 12-year-old would have probably liked it. Let's just put it that way. I don't know about that. And then Baywatch is coming out. And that just looks, Eric, does Baywatch... It just looks the Rock on a quad. Come on, boobs bouncing.
Yeah, it looks like the TV show, which I never watched. So why would I go see the movie?
Yeah. So what I heard on that is they would slow mo the running scenes in the TV series because the shows were cut short. You know, like when we're doing the TV show and it's like, okay, we have an extra 20 seconds.
Oh, interesting.
So what they would do is they would do the slowdown so you'd see the girl's chest just go psh, 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 psh.
That girl being Pamela Anderson?
That would be that girl. Mm-hmm. And you'd see the guy's chest go pr, pr, kind of like mine, right?
That guy being David Hasselhoff?
You'd see the, well, whoever it was that was in there.
Yeah.
It could be any of them. Any of them, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have no interest to go see.
No.
Baywatch just looks like a total train wreck.
Baywatch got 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And Pirates of the Caribbean, not much better, 28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Disney's just got to be...
Come on. It's a holiday weekend, people. Please put out a good movie.
Disney's just got to be going, what? If it doesn't do well and they've just had an awful quarter by cutting all those people at ESPN and now their movie side tanks...
Not good.
No. There's some interesting things going on in sports today. As mentioned, the Diamondbacks. I'll get over to them in a minute. Lonzo Ball's in the news cycle, and Eric has instructed me to not discuss Lonzo Ball ever, ever. Am I overspeaking this?
Well, we haven't talked about him in about, what, a week? So I can tolerate a little bit of Lonzo Ball talk.
So Danny Ainge has confirmed today that Lonzo Ball has informed the team that through his people that he is not going to work out for the Celtics. Stunning, right?
Wow.
I know. Now, I do think that this is newsworthy. Because here's the thing. Boston is sitting there at number one, and the narrative now from fans, what I'm getting is they really hope the Lakers pass on him, and then he just has a free fall, and the dad looks like a fool. That's not going to happen.
No way.
That's not going to happen.
If it was any other team besides the Lakers at two, that could have been the case, but the Lakers and the Balls are a perfect marriage, and that's going to happen in a month or so.
But you know... We're talking about Wiley Danny Ainge here. Danny Ainge is not predictable.
And I told you the day after the draft on this show, I said it would be great if they drafted Ball and essentially held the Lakers hostage. You want him? Well, okay, we're going to draft him. So what are you going to give us? Unless the Lakers are fine taking Markelle Fultz, which they should be.
Mr. Prokhorov over here in New Jersey or Brooklyn. We've got Danny Ainge on line one.
Hang up the phone.
Oh, Mr. Ainge, yes, I am the new owner. I am billionaire times 20, billionaire vodka owner here in Russia of the Nets. What's that you'd like to offer me, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce? And all you want are first-round picks? Oh, sure, no problem.
Yeah, this year it's going to be like the rights to Cornbread Maxwell, Robert Parrish's old shoes,
right,
and some cash.
Gerald Henderson.
That's it.
Let's pull out all the Austin Carr.
Most people watching
JoJo
this.
White.
Most people watching this probably has no idea who Cornbread Maxwell is. But
Dave Cowan's left-hand hook shot.
Google it.
Piece of the old parquet. But no, seriously, Danny snookered. Didn't snooker him. He completely took advantage of these poor owners that come in here and think, yeah, I make vodka. Yeah, trading players, what's that? And then it turns out, yeah, you actually gave away Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce for our future. And now we suck forever. But my point on this is Danny could sit there with the number one overall pick in the draft, could, and say, you know what, guys, bring it on. Anybody around the league, bring it on. You're Oklahoma City. You're going to lose Russell Westbrook. I'll take him off your hands. Bring it on. Just any team across the board. And the easy thing for him to do, Eric, is take Fultz. That's the easy thing. So now that Ball has done this, there's going to be even more hatred. Like Lonzo Ball is going to come into the NBA as a villain before even day one. And my whole thing on sports is sports needs villains. Villains are great for sports. It's fun for you to sit around your cubicle, your office, wherever your place of work during the day and say, I'm going to the game tonight or I'm watching the game tonight and I hate that guy on the other team. And I'm going to boo him and I'm going to be all over him and you're going to go to the game and you're going to have fun and you're going to boo that guy. That's the beauty of sports. You know, it's like when the Cardinals play the Cowboys here this coming season. The Cowboys are coming to town, and the Cardinal fans will boo them to the nth degree because usually the Cowboys get over on the Cardinals. Usually. If Dez Bryant catches the ball, there'll be fans that boo. That's the fun of sport. That is the beauty of sport. Part of the beauty. And so Lonzo Ball, the first time that if it's the Lakers and they come here and it's a packed Laker crowd, which it usually is through the last 8 years because the Suns haven't been any good at all in any way, shape, or form, they're going to be all over Lonzo Ball. It'll be great. Grand Canyon University basketball is on my radar today. They haven't said anything. They don't need to say anything. I've written it. I've seen it. We all know it. They are in a conference that is close to collapsing. They are in the Western Athletic Conference. Dan Marley's basketball team, next year, it'll be their first year being eligible for the NCAA tournament. It's a big year for the program. But they're in a conference where there are schools that are financially troubled. There's no other way to put it. And fans are not going to watch Kansas City, Missouri, Southern Utah University, Chicago State. They're not going to watch them. And so if there's a chance for them to get out of the conference, and they've been trying to get in the West Coast Conference, from my understanding, but I have said here for the last month, the Horizon League is where they need to go. Valpo is going to lead the Horizon League, and I've had this Horizon League. That's like Cleveland. That's like Midwest. That's 2,000 miles. Yes, it is. And so what? In this day and age, you can't be in a conference full of misfits, which is what the WAC is from my point of view. They're not going to the West Coast Conference. They are not. The presidents of those universities do not want GCU. Gonzaga would like to get out of the West Coast Conference and go to the Big East. So this morning it came out that Valpo is leaving. There is an opening in the Horizon Conference. They have games on ESPN. Well, what happens to baseball and the dead of winter and all these other sports? Come play them out here. Figure it out. It's not that difficult. This is a big time for GCU. It really is. Yeah, there's still going to be a one-bid league, just like the WAC. But if you know you're in a conference with schools that are financially in trouble, why would you not try to get out? Now, they're not going to talk about this. They won't even acknowledge this. I'm acknowledging it because it's clear as day they've got to get out of the WAC. So that story is of interest to me today. And then there's the baseball team who just keeps winning. I expect the 6-8 game losing streak. Obviously, with Greinke, that's not going to happen because he's been basically unhittable. But every other aspect of this team outside of their defense, we talked about their outfield defense, it's atrocious. Outside of that, now they go on this 11-game road trip. They've played 10 more home games. 10 more home games than they have on the road. And the easy narrative is to say, well, let's see how they play on the road. They go 500 on the road. If they split series, they win series. I'm fine with this. to be sitting here Memorial Day weekend, 10 games above 500 for the first time since 2011, would have taken that in a heartbeat. One last thing in the opening segment, we have had quite a bit of feedback off of our Steve Bellis in studio interview yesterday. Every one of the TV stations in town called. Every one of them wanted the copy of Steve sitting here with me. It was the only interview that he has done. He may do others, up to him. Hadn't done anything before. And I was very grateful that he picked me and said, I trust you. This was not anything that was preconceived or pre-written or anything along those lines. He just knew that I was going to sit here, and we're not going to say, you have to talk about, you know, the student and all that stuff. That's not going to happen in a legal proceeding. I know that. And we also have the forum here to do it. I can do 15 minutes. Nobody else in town can do 15 minutes on TV. It's the way it works. It's why I'm here. It's why I got out of there. Just, you know, take what Steve said and dig a little deeper in that. Go about 10 minutes in and hear him talk about the locker room situation over at Hamilton. Just the way it's constructed. You're going to learn a lot. Byron Scott is next. ASU legend. Three-time NBA champ, NBA on ABC and ESPN. That is next with Byron Scott. His new book is out. And then Bob Brenly. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now we go to Milwaukee, where World Series winning manager Bob Brenly of the Diamondbacks, now Fox Sports Arizona analyst through the years. He joins us as the Diamondbacks tonight on FSAZ. We'll open a road swing with Milwaukee to start with 11 games. And if you would have predicted to me at the start of the year that it would be the first place Brewers in their division and the Diamondbacks only two games out of first place in their division, I would have offered to buy you something to nip on the cooking sherry out of the kitchen and the really good stuff, because I just wouldn't have seen this coming. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well, Brad. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. Good day here. Good day in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, bright sunny day. A little chilly, you know, for those of us who just left the desert. It's probably in the high 50s right now, working its way up into the 60s. But, yeah, it'll be a nice night at the ballpark.
Do you like broadcasting games at this ballpark?
I don't mind it because I broadcast games at Old County Stadium, and I did not like that. You know, the chicken wire and the corrugated tin and pigeons sitting on the ledge of the booth. I wasn't a big fan of County Stadium, but, you know, Miller Park has a lot of memories for me. That's where we clinched in 01 and where the All-Star game was in 02. So, yeah, I don't mind coming here at all.
That's good. That's good. If I would have told you back in March that, hey, by the way, Bob, when you go to Milwaukee towards the end of May, the team's going to be two games out of first place, would you have believed me?
I don't know. I'm always one to let the season kind of play out. You try to evaluate your talent coming out of spring training, and maybe you look at the minor league level to see what help will be available if needed during the season. You try to identify potential strong points, potential weak points, and you know, coming out of spring training, I felt like the Diamondbacks had addressed what I felt were their most pressing needs, and that's starting rotation, getting some guys that could pitch deeper into the ball game, which in turn affects the bullpen and how they're used and how they can be more effective pitching on you know, less than constant work out of the bullpen.
Right.
And, you know, we knew the offense was going to be good. Unfortunately, with A.J. Pollock out of the lineup, it's not quite as potent as it could be. But fortunately, everybody that stepped in A.J.'s absence has done a great job. I think we're 7-1 or 8-1 since A.J. got hurt. So, long-winded answer to your question, I felt the Diamondbacks were going to be good. But unfortunately, I thought the Giants and Dodgers were going to be just a little bit better. So, you know, they have surprised me a little bit, but not to the point where I'm shocked. Now, the Brewers, on the other hand, to me, they were in a full-blown rebuild. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't see this coming from them. But, you know, they kind of caught lightning in a bottle with Eric Thames down at first base, a guy that's off to a great start. And I know firsthand what a good baseball guy Craig Counsell is and what a great communicator he is. So, you know, apparently there was a little more in there with this Brewers team than any of us expected.
Back over on the Diamondbacks, what has pleased you most in watching them night in and night out this season through 6-7 weeks?
I think in general, as I said, the pitching. The starting pitching has, you know, under Torrey's orders, pitched deep into ball games. Give me 21 outs. That's what he He impresses upon these guys every time they take the ball, give me 21 outs. Now, they haven't always been able to do that, but for the most part, we've seen some deep starts, guys going 6, 7, 8 innings into a ball game. And as I said a moment ago, that sets up your bullpen so that when you call down there, instead of saying who's healthy, who can give me an inning tonight, you call down and you get the guys up that you want to come in the game to play the matchups. And because the starters have been able to do their job and pitch effectively deep into ball games, that allows Torrey to use the bullpen in an orderly fashion, and it cuts down on the wear and tear on those guys. It cuts down on the uncertainty of when they might pitch. And, it all starts with your pitching. So for me, that's the biggest area of improvement.
And as we're sitting here right now, I think tonight's a big start for Robbie Ray. Would you agree on that, or is it just another start for Robbie Ray? You could say every start's a big start, but I think Robbie in particular, Bob, let's see about tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he has shown flashes of brilliance, the guy that we all think he can be.
Right.
You know, that high fastball, and when he's throwing his breaking ball for strikes, he can be as dominating as any lefty in the game, as the strikeout numbers would indicate. But the walks and the pitch total for Robbie occasionally get him into trouble, and he's a guy that Torrey has had to pull the plug on early a few times this year. So, and also given the fact we had the bullpen game yesterday, and I think we used 6 different pitchers, nobody was overextended, but you'd really like Robbie to be able to get deep in the game tonight. So if Torrey does have to go to the bullpen, he doesn't have to use 5 or 6 guys. It's maybe just 1 or 2 guys to finish out a ball game.
Where do you think, as you look at this team we're talking with Bob Brenly, that you say, I'm still not quite sure where this is going to go in this position or that player? Is there a spot here you look at and say, this is great, Brad, through 7 weeks to be 2 games out of first place. However, is there a however in your mind?
Well, I think the biggest however for me with this team is defense in general. We knew Brandon Drury sliding over to second base. He was going to be playing out of position and kind of learning the position as we went along. There have been some highlight real defensive plays, and there's also been some highlight real defensive errors. I think just in general, this is not as good a defensive team as we've seen the Diamondbacks field in past years. Now, it can get better. We see Tony Parascica and Dave McKay working with these guys on a daily basis, not only out on the field, fielding grounders and working on cutoffs and relays and double plays and bunt defense, but also in the video room, just watching the players and how can they get a better first step. How can they anticipate where the ball is going to be hit a little bit better, which in turn would probably cut down on some of the defensive mistakes that they've made early in the season. But I think if there was one area that they could really tighten up, and there is room to tighten up, it would be the defense.
Talking with Bob Brenly, Fox Sports Arizona. Tonight, Diamondbacks Brewers, all 4 games through the weekend, of course, on FSAZ. When I'm out and I'm speaking or just getting mail about what's going on in the Valley, I get a lot of, is this for real, Brad, what you're seeing out of the Diamondbacks? Or is this just a team that is off to a good start? You know, you go by the holidays, BB, right? Memorial Day, where are you? 4th of July, where are you? Labor Day, where are you? Mm-hmm. Is this just a good start? Is this a good team? Is this real in your mind that we're going to be sitting here in August and September this year? Or is it too early to tell in your mind?
Well, I think it's probably still a little bit too early to tell. Injuries always factor in, as we've seen already with AJ, and other teams are battling injuries to key people. And, it's really hard to fully evaluate a team until you see the regular lineup and the extra guys used the way the manager wants to use them, and then see what kind of a role you can go on at that point. But, the thing is, those are things we like to talk about, Brad, and fans like to talk about. But the players really have the mindset of, show up at the ballpark, get prepared to play a ball game mentally and physically, and then go out there and give it the best effort you can, and then do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. I don't think the players ever really stop and say, I think we're for real this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just grind, and that's what baseball is all about. We've got a long way to go this season. I really like a lot of what I've seen from the Diamondbacks in the early going, but consistency over a long period of time is what makes championships. So we'll see if they can maintain this kind of pace all season long.
A couple other questions. We'll let Bob Brenly go. Appreciate his time. Diamondbacks at Milwaukee tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, opening a 4-game set. When Greinke is on the mound, is it in your mind the same as Randy, Kurt, Webby, in their best? Is that where we're at now with Greinke?
I would say, well, as far as result and absolutely dominating opponents, I'd say absolutely. We're seeing the same kind of performance from Zach Greinke over his last, the start against the Dodgers this year. He has been outstanding. And I mentioned it on the air yesterday concerning Zach Greinke. I talked to a lot of advanced scouts at the ballpark, and advanced scouts are tough guys to impress. You know, they see baseball every day. They've seen some of the best in the game. They're hard guys to get compliments out of when you're talking about a player. But to a man, everybody I talked to at the ballpark after Zach's last outing was saying, that's the best I've ever seen him. Mm. And that's saying something, you know, for a guy that won the Cy Young and went 19-3 just a few short years ago, to say that this is as good as they've ever seen him. I can't wait to see Zach's next start. It's just it's the closest thing I've seen to Greg Maddux. His command, his game plan against opposing hitters, the way he executes pitches, it's just so much fun to watch a guy when he's on top of his game the way Zach is right now.
Do you visit with him much, Bob? Greinke? Do you talk with him much?
I've waved at him a couple times, Brad. As you know, he's not the most talkative guy
right.
in the world. And,
right.
And I respect that, you know, certain players need to conduct themselves in a certain manner to get ready to play ball. So, you know, I don't infringe upon his privacy. He's kind of raised an eyebrow and waved at me a couple times, and I've said hello to him several times. But, you know, in order to do his job, he doesn't have to be friends with everybody. He doesn't even have to be nice to everybody. Just go out there and take the ball every fifth day and do what you can do.
Yeah, I respect that. Before I let you go, what is it about Torey Lovello with this team, and how much credit? I hate that question, how much credit. What is it about Torey this year that has made a difference from your point of view with this group?
Well, I think he was he had a very good idea of what he wanted to do when given an opportunity to manage a ball club. You know, he had a little bit of experience in Boston filling in for John Farrell when he was ill, and did a great job of it. And I think the time spent as a minor league manager, as a minor or a major league bench coach, seeing the game from a lot of different angles, and the fact that he was a utility player himself during his playing career, understands the importance of keeping your bench players fresh, keeping your regulars rested. And he just has a very calming way about him. Now, I have seen him get angry, and I know he has that side, and it's there. But he has a way of approaching players, whether it's complimenting them or criticizing them, and the players always take it the right way. Mm. And that's an unusual trait in this game nowadays, to be able to get along with, you know, a disparate group of guys. You know, you got rednecks from Oklahoma, and you got Dominicans, and you've got people from all over the world on this team, and all different attitudes and all different experiences, and they all seem to strike a chord with Torey. So, you know, I don't know what else I can say. He's done a great job up to this point strategically. I can't really say that I've raised an eyebrow at anything he's done. So I think he's right where he needs to be right now. It was his time to take over a major league ball club. And fortunately for us, it was the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, and I have to say this in closing, that I have heard you guess on the air, and the second guess, which is half the fun of baseball. So, you know, with your baseball mind, it's not questioning him. It's just, here's what I would do here. And I think that there is something that you're seeing in the booth, just hearing you broadcast. You're no different to me. It's just really cool, Bob, to see. And it's having a team that's competitive. Because you and I both know the last year sitting here at 90 and 100 losses staring in the face, that's no fun. And it just, you sound great. So take that for what it's worth.
Well,
person.
I do appreciate it. It's fun watching good baseball. You know, that's always been my thing.
Yeah.
I just like good baseball. I prefer it be from the Diamondbacks, but, you know, I can appreciate good baseball when it's from the opponent.
Safe travel. Stay well. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Brad. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to Bob Brenly, the World Series winning manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks and Fox Sports Arizona tonight. And for the next four games against the Brewers for the holiday weekend, good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com, Goody at the Movies. And he just crushed Pirates, just destroyed it. We'll find out why next. I think the bigger story in Boston today is probably their future. Now that Lonzo Ball has said, and I think this does impact the Suns to a certain extent, Now that Lonzo Ball's people have said, we are not working out for you, does that automatically mean that Danny Ainge, and as today progresses, Danny Ange has got to be cornered and asked, what does this mean to you if he is indeed not going to come work out for you? Is that a deal breaker to take him? Just because a player doesn't come in and work out, that doesn't mean automatically that they're not going to take him. I know the fan backlash that I've seen so far today on the message boards and stories in that ilk have all pointed towards that fans do not want to see him in Boston. Okay, I get that. If we're talking just basketball skills and where that team is, you have Isaiah Thomas wanting a big increase in his deal, and you have a number one pick where you could fill that in, or you can go with Markelle Fultz. The Suns are sitting there at four. We had Ryan McDonough on last week, and Ryan essentially said he doesn't see a scenario where he could trade up and get into the spot to go after one, two, or three. That's basically not on the table for the Suns. I still believe trading back may be their best option. If Ball does go to the Lakers, the balance of power within the Western Conference shifts again. And now that the dad has said all along, I want him to get to the Lakers, and now that they've gone to this step of, no, we're just not going to go work out for you guys. The interesting side here is what will happen on draft night. Will Danny Ainge say, I've got something else that I'm working on, and I'm willing to part with that pick, and you know what? You guys go figure it out. I can get a player that I really prefer to have. If I'm all in on Ball and Ball does not want to be with me, then I'm just going to go a different direction. And it could impact the Suns. So on the surface, you guys may be like, yeah, Brad, this doesn't impact the Suns. No, I think it could impact them. I think it actually gives Danny Ainge a more clear direction on what way to go. And in the coming weeks, when you have these workouts, and the workouts produce players A, B, and C for the Suns that they look at the fourth spot, and it becomes crystal clear what direction they want to go. If above them there's some uncertainty or something does happen in the way of Celtics saying, I don't want to keep that number one pick, I do think that that's the direction that they could go. We'll take a time out here, back with more after this break. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what is going on in the world of sports, and it is a big, long weekend, it's time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He joins us each week, and I do appreciate that. I'm sitting there watching Pirates the other night. I saw you walk in late. I think you're waving at me, or maybe you were doing some other gesture my direction. I don't know. And I'm watching this house be dragged through the city. And I'm thinking, Bill's just got to be hating this, because I'm hating this. And 2 hours and 20 minutes later, I was not that much more enamored. And yet, my wife loved it, thought it was the best Pirates since the first one. So where are you at on Pirates of the Caribbean, Bill?
I'm on your side. And by the way, when you say late, the movie had not started. I was later than you were. I wasn't late for the movie.
No, you're always on time, but you do come in because you're smart. You come in, and I waved at you, and you waved at me, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. And I knew you were going to be there. I thought it was stupid and dumb, and I think they need to figure out something different, which they tried a little bit. I mean, they brought in some new people, and I guess they thought that'll be, you know, really smart. But I just feel like it's the same old thing. And the thing, and here's the thing about, like you say, he's going to rob a bank. And as you say, he sort of accidentally takes the whole building, and they drag it through this town, and that's dumb. But if it lasted 10 seconds, you know, okay, so what? On to the next thing. It lasted like 5 minutes.
Yeah, this bank went a long time being dragged through the city, a long time.
It was ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, the first one was such a surprise. The others, I'll tell you, the surprise to me is it's been like 6 years since they made the last one. I thought they were making these things like every year or two, but I guess not. But hopefully they'll take a little time off and come up with some story. You'd think they might have come up with a better story over 6 years, but I guess not.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so my wife said that she heard this was the last one, and that they tied all the knots together at the very end. And I'm not going to give it all away here, but did they tie it all together? Are you hearing that this is it?
I have heard that this is the last one, and I have heard that it is not the last one. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's. I don't think that we got. This movie makes $250 million. It ain't the last one.
This movie's getting crushed, though. Every review that I've read, in yours, you don't give 2 out of 5 very often.
No, it's I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't. It was and you get into that thing with summer movies sometimes, and I've already heard this. And I've seen some people on Facebook and Twitter and all these places say, "Oh, haters are going to hate," and all this stuff. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, there is a different level of expectation for like a summer blockbuster and all that sort of
yes,
thing.
Yes. Yes.
And I take that into consideration. Everything doesn't have to be art, but this was just bad. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
You sound so agitated. Were you with me that when the bank's being drugged through the street, okay, I've got 2 hours, I'm not going anywhere? Were you trying to give it a chance?
I always try to give it a chance. I think it's you got to do that. I mean, that's sort of the job, is you got to go in there and try to make the most of it. But daggone, I mean, that thing just went on and on and on.
Okay, so let's move over to Baywatch, because I'm thinking Baywatch. If you don't like pirates, I'm going to be shocked if you say Baywatch is awesome and amazing. But it might be.
No, it is not.
Shocker of the day.
Awful. It's bad in a different way. It's sort of like, they try to do this thing which 21 Jump Street did it well. They take a sort of an old goofy TV show and they redo it as a sort of a hard R, like a really R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. It worked really well with 21 Jump Street. It did not work at all with Chips. And this falls more into the Chips category.
Well,
it's dirty for no reason, and it's stupid.
The Rock, though, The Rock's going to be our next president, right? I mean, that's what I'm reading. That's what I'm hearing. So we're going to go from Trump to The Rock, and yet it's The Rock without a shirt on, and it's girls' breasts bumping up and down, and that's about it.
Zac Efron without a shirt on.
And slow motion Zac Efron with his... with his chest muscles, his pecs pecking, right? I mean, that's what this is, and nothing more. There cannot be anything deeper than just a millimeter on this movie.
Well, that would sort of be a better movie if there wasn't anything more. But they try to put in this murder mystery, and they can't really decide what to do. And Zac Efron, this is the one sort of funny thing, was Zac Efron plays a guy who won 2 gold medals swimming, but he's like a real party guy. And so much so that he vomits in the pool during the Olympics during a relay. So he won this, and they start calling him the Vomit Comet.
Now that's funny. I like that. That is funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But they do that, and it doesn't work. I mean, they can't decide what they want to be. Sometimes it's like a pretty serious murder mystery. Sometimes it's a ridiculous comedy, R-rated comedy. For no reason, and like any movie like this, sure, there are some you're going to laugh some, but the proportion is not worth it.
All right, who did you you talk to Zac Efron on this one?
Yeah, and Alexa Daddario, who is plays the one of the women in a red bathing suit.
Beautiful. And what type of interviews were these? Or did you get anything out of them? They glean you any information? It's like, wow, that's shocking, or not?
Actually, they were kind of interesting because they both started as doing sort of kid stuff.
Okay.
And they've sort of moved on to this. She was really good in the show True Detective, which was the Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey version. She was really good in that. He's actually been good in some movies. He's not a bad actor. I mean, it's nothing, got no problems with him on that front. But it's just too stupid.
All right. Just under his breath, he says. Okay, so what you've done so far in this segment is convince people that on Memorial Day weekend, Pirates and Baywatch are not your favorites this year. In fact, if I were to guess where you are right now in your top 10 least favorite movies that you'll do in December, probably, these two are candidates, right?
Yes. Yeah. These are candidates.
There you go. So what should they go see this weekend? Throw a couple out there. It doesn't matter if it's independent.
They should go see Wakefield. That also opens this week, and it stars Bryan Cranston as a guy who he takes a pause from his life, and he kind of lives over the garage of his freestanding garage, and he sort of looks in on his family as they sort of try life without him. And it's Bryan Cranston, of course, is really good at playing not necessarily guys who are not necessarily likable. And guys who, if everybody's seen Breaking Bad, probably.
Yep.
He's not killing people, but he's every bit as selfish and self-centered. And he justifies his behavior as initially selfish ways. You come to the realization that he thinks he kind of deserves this. You know, that he needs this break. And, you know, it's good. And he is great.
All right. Anything else going on? Anything catch your eye this week? Nothing really in media.
Well, I'd say there's something in media. Montana congressional candidate body slammed.
Oh, that's true. No, you're right. You're right. My bad.
You dared to ask him a question about the health care bill.
No, that's true. No, that's true. And Fox is dying on the vine. We talked about Roger Ailes last week, and what did I read all week? They've been third. Like, the end is near. Hannity's supposedly going to bail out. I mean,
well, Hannity's lost his mind. I mean, he's gone off on the Seth Rich thing, where the network has retracted, their story about him, and Hannity just keeps plugging away.
Yeah, well, there's always a channel, Bill. You know that. There's always a channel somewhere. I'll see you soon. Thanks.
Thanks.
Here's Bill Goodykunz. Goody at the movies. Well, Bill was a little feisty this week. Eric, I know you were thinking of movies. Did he sell two tickets to the Sorensons on...
Not the two that he reviewed today, that's for sure.
On Pirates.
Going to take a pass on Baywatch and Pirates.
I can tell you, for some reason, my wife thought it was great.
That's what movies, some people think the worst movies are the greatest, and some people think the greatest are the worst.
Some people are going to say to me, hey, Baywatch was awesome. I can't believe that you didn't think Baywatch is an Academy
Award. Let me know when you find that person who says that.
One of you. All right, let's get out of here. Chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. It's actually co-chairman of the board. It's Edwin Rodriguez today as well, who's helping out. Eric, of course, produces, senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak, Cast of Thousands, Arvin, everybody, thanks. And thanks to you and our sponsors. Those of you that sponsor us, we do appreciate it. We are self-funded. I don't have investors on. This is just me doing this with people saying we want to support you. So we do appreciate that. Thanks for being with us.